Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Box Out Boys. I'm Skylar Reesberg, your host, joined by my fellow host, Spencer Clark, and we are back and ready to go. Spencer, how are you doing? I heard you had a wonderful weekend.
Yes, sir.
Had
a nice weekend. Nothing too crazy. You know how it goes.
Some birthday celebrations.
Yep, had a few drinks. Had a few drinks Saturday night. Miller Lights flowing. What more can you ask for?
That is such the Chicago staple beer. I really don't know anywhere else where people are drinking Miller Lite like they are in Chicago.
I mean, I think it's the top tier beer. You're out in Colorado. Are you just automatically a Coors guy?
Coors is a big one here. And I think I've always liked Coors, but once I moved out to Denver, the mountains started calling a little harder. Those Blue Mountains especially. And so I've become a little more Coors guy. It's a big brewery place, so I drink a lot of juicy, hazy IPA, kind of what I look for. But never the Miller. I've gotten into it a little bit here and there, only the juicy, hazy. And okay. I think it's because Denver's such a big brewery. They kind of force the IPAs on you. They kind of throw them at you. But can never get into the Millers. I think it's something about you got to live in Chicago. It's just like people drink Malort's in Chicago. More of that. That's just not going on out here.
You've got a valid point. I also think that these breweries that have their fancy IPA beers, they should also just have a keg or two of just domestic beer for those of us that don't want a hazy beer or a juicy beer.
So same thing, but just take all the hops out of it. Take all that IPA BS out of there and just give it to me domestically.
Like I when I'm at an IPA, I walk up and I say, can I please have your lightest beer? And you always That's get fair. A look. You always get an uncultured look. It's a look that I don't really care for, but also a look I don't care about. Because why don't you have a bottle of Miller Lite back there?
I feel like if that's what you're doing, they can't be giving you a good IPA. If you say, give me your lightest IPA, that can't be good.
Maybe that's why I don't like them.
Never been an IPA person.
No, never have been. Probably never will be.
You know, they say some people grow into that. I'm kind of surprised,
Well, where do you stand on like plant-based meat? I think those two might overlap. IPAs and plant-based food, meat.
I don't know really what you're talking about. Is that grass-fed? Or what is plant? Is that just vegan meat? I don't eat that.
See, because I think there's a lot of overlap between those two.
See, Do you eat plant-based meat?
Absolutely not. I am a domestic beer, red meat kind of guy. A true American.
So I'm not seeing the correlation here then, because we both don't eat plant-based meat, but one drinks IPAs, not religiously. I just will have them here time to time, but the other doesn't.
Might just be a softer population is all I'm saying.
It's got to be something deeper. Either way, if you're taking anything away from this right now, it's that if you're in Denver, you're drinking Coors. If you're in Chicago, you are hammering Miller Lights. Maybe getting a Malort in there if you're feeling very local and very festive for Chicago. But overall, Clark, we had a great weekend of college hoops, as we always do. This kind of feels like the time of the year where, how long have we been doing this podcast? We've been talking since November about college basketball. We've been locked in. It feels like the time of the year where, you know, some of our friends and then the casual college basketball fans are really getting into it more. People are actually talking about it. This was the first Sunday without any NFL football and just any football throughout a weekend of college basketball. This was the first standalone. And so it feels like all eyes are shifted right now. We got golf going on, hockey's going on, NBA's going on, but all eyes are shifting harder. There's a harder focus on college basketball right around this time. And I, for one, love it. But also, you know, double-edged sword, wish people would get in sooner. Wish they'd understand and just have that passion. But hey, we're here. We're closer to March. I think the brackets come out in about 4 weeks now. And so are you more locked in or as locked in as you've been all year?
I've been locked in, but I would say I'm leaning forward in my chair now. I mean, it's that time of the year where you got to really buckle in and get ready because it's going to come quick. It's going to come fast now. Pause.
I agree. Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. Just You know, I'm on the edge of my chair is hunched forward. Maybe the two back pedals, those are off the ground, the two back legs. Because I'm getting a little more interested.
I'm fucking seconds away from tipping over. But I wouldn't want it any other way. And I think what you said earlier, people are starting to lock in now. I personally feel like it is very rewarding just to know that we've been here all along. Kind of feels like the people that are like first to the music or first to the new actor. Like, yeah, come talk to us. We know what we're fucking talking about.
Right, right. You know, hey, we're glad you're here now. And we're humbly bragging here, I guess, at the end of the day that, you know, we have been locked in. So, you know, we may know a little, we may have a little more inside info that'll help us in March, because we know some things that happened back in November, December. There was some real shit going down then. And, you know, you may not know about it. You may look at some of the box scores. It doesn't tell you the whole story. We saw the games etched in memory forever. Speaking of some past, yeah.
We were around for November, December, Memphis. People are now looking at Memphis saying, what a shitty school. What a shitty team. Penny Hardaway, hot seat.
We were around when people thought they were a top 10 team. Myself included, hand up.
15-2. We were there. We were beating that drum.
You know, maybe it's just the conference they're in. They're not built for it. That feels weird to say, but since conference play, they like fell off a slope.
I mean, to say that with they have a 30-point loss to SMU and a 10-point loss to North Texas. I mean, if you're not ready for that, you're not ready for anything.
But they also have, they were putting together some good wins. I know they have an impressive resume if you take out their conference schedule. It's just for some reason when they got there, people started giving up. Who knows? You know, maybe it's Tomlinson joining the team. Since then, it's kind of been going downhill.
You're putting that on him?
I'm not. There's a correlation there. It doesn't have to equal causation, but there's a correlation there.
It's the Brawny correlation.
Oh, is it just like that?
It might be. I don't know. Penny Hardaway is kind of a baby. He gives me Deion Sanders vibes as a head coach. Just like two dudes that, granted, they are cool guys, but like they know they're cool and they're always trying to show everyone how cool they are. And it's like, just coach.
I mean, you've been hammering this point all year. He plays his sons too much. The Hardaways, you know, not all of them were built for the basketball life. And right. I think Penny in particular, great recruiter. He's brought, I mean, the starting five they have, I think that's why we're talking about them, is because everyone's so confused why they just fell off in conference play. It's like they were going to be an automatic bid for the NCAA tournament. It was a lock. It was like, you know, they have a few games to give, but even if they lose like two or three, they'll be a lower seed, but they'll be fine. And then, you know, once you're in the tournament, anything can happen. They have completely fallen off. They are, I don't even know if they're on the bubble right now.
They're an NIT team right now, and not even a NIT team getting a home game. They're in a bad spot.
That season might be over. They're technically still in the next four out. I don't understand how they are still in the next four out. That game must have been on Saturday against SMU or Sunday because, they are definitely out of the bubble now. St. John's is the same way. They were on the bubble last week. I think they got to be out of there too right now. I don't see if they make it at all. Colorado, Villanova, those are teams trending up on the bubble. But yeah, with Memphis.
USC blew one to Colorado. They gave Colorado one on Saturday night. That was a great game. A great game.
USC and UCLA. No quit. What is going on with these teams? You know, we said goodbye to them. We never talk about them for a reason. They're not fun. They're not fun to talk about. They're not fun to watch. We talk about them negatively, but we might have to start flipping our switch, especially on UCLA. Have you been seeing that hype train they're on right now?
I have blacked out all UCLA in my head.
You know what? I was on the same page as you until after we potted last week. I started, you know, reading into the Pac-12 a little more. Don't ask me why. They're not going to be a deep bid conference, but started seeing UCLA. They're on an 8-game win streak. They just lost to Utah by a point on Sunday or Saturday, but they're on a roll. Their name's back in contention. They're not on the bubble, but goddamn, they're right there. They have some opportunities against Arizona. Not too many other teams with the Pac-12 being not that deep. But, I mean, it reminds me of a couple years ago, Villanova snuck into the tournament as an 11 seed. Or not Villanova, sorry, UCLA. Snuck in the tournament as an 11 seed, made that Final Four run. Elite Eight run.
The well-coached Mick Cronin, as ugly as he is, and as annoying as he is, he's a great coach. So they always have that, and that plays a big factor. But like 14 and 12, they're in the Pac-12. I don't know if that's enough to do it.
No, they're definitely going to need to, I mean, can't lose more than two games throughout the season. And then you have to make a deep run, probably the championship game, to get an at-large bid if you're UCLA. Depends who you play, of course. But
right.
I mean, we can't count them out, though. They're definitely trending upwards, and I got to point it out, guys.
You're right. They're coming. But it would be like a travesty if they got a bid over like an Illinois State, who we were talking really, really highly about last week. We're not out on them, but they went 0-2 last week. Drake has pulled into sole position of Missouri Valley Conference right now. First place.
Indiana State dropped two last week, really.
Dropped two. So, I don't know what's going on there. Very, very unlike them to do that.
Well, it sounds like the script's taken on a, you know, an identity of its own. The script is playing out as it will, where if you put a future in for Drake when they were down a game or two on Indiana State, that might be looking good now.
Might be looking real good now. And they got...
We love Drake.
We love Drake. This might be a Drake podcast.
Hey, I mean, Tucker DeVries, I think everybody wants that man in the tournament. The early exit last year against a good Indiana team in March Madness, I think that was disappointing, but also kind of a shitty matchup for Drake to be put against a good Indiana team that underperformed all year. I mean, they were going to lose. But Tucker DeVries, we all want him in the tournament. I think that's what...
He's a guy that's built for March. He's a guy that's built for March. He's a guy that will... If they win a game or two and he goes for 25-30 in those games, you'll start seeing him really talked about at the next level, which
is he
fun.
Just a good player, or does he have any connection to the coaching staff? Is he the coach's son?
Yes, his dad's the head coach.
His dad's the head coach. See, I always get it confused with there's that you and I guy that's pretty good too.
Yep.
I always forget which one's the coach's son. But of course, it's Tucker DeVries. It's very similar to like Creighton. With the McDermotts, I feel like.
Correct.
Right.
Feels
now.
Just
that's what
like
they're
that.
Building. It does.
The difference is, I don't know how many... I mean, Doug McDermott was great, and he could have gone different places. Tucker DeVries could have gone just about anywhere in the country and decided to stay home and play for his dad, which, to each their own on that.
I think that's a four-star. Positive. That's not even nepotism, but because we have a father-son little duo, I think that's positive nepotism. You know, we don't talk a lot about positive nepotism on this podcast, and that's awesome. It's just like Caitlin Clark, you know, she stayed at Iowa because she wanted to show out for the state. She wanted to remain loyal. Went to Iowa, now she's doing all these great things. She could have gone anywhere too. Tucker DeVries, thank you. Although it would have been cool if you went to Iowa State or Iowa.
Would have been nice.
Would have been a lot more national attention on you, but you'll get your own in March. You know, we're leaking the script, or we're seeing where the script's going right now, and it's going to a Drake, at least one win in March. They're going to make it.
I think so. I think they are in. I think Indiana State gets in, too. I think it'd be a travesty if both those teams aren't playing in the big tournament.
And I think I'll only those riot. Two, though, right? Only those two teams from the FBS.
I think so. Yeah.
NBC.
Bradley had a case for a little while, but Bradley's kind of fallen off. They're 10-6.
They just lost to you and I last week.
That's not good enough in that conference.
That's not going to cut it. No, and no. You know Drake or Indiana State's going to win the tournament. It's theirs to lose, and with two options like that, I would bet one of those teams against the field wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly. I agree. All right, we had a lot of games last week. What games really got you going?
So really got I gotta call up. Out when we were doing the pod last Monday. Ooh, one sec. Let me drag down here to these notes. When we were doing the pod last Monday, KU and Texas Tech were playing. Texas Tech came over, and I feel like this doesn't happen ever in college basketball. Can't remember the last time somebody pitched a perfect game. and didn't miss. Shot 100%. So got to call it Darian Williams here. Texas Tech guard, scored a career-high 30 points, 12 of 12 shooting, 4 of 4 three-pointers, and then made both his free throws, and had 11 rebounds. That's just absolutely insane.
Crazy.
Bill Self got teed up in that game. That was just a Kansas fan's worst nightmare. They're just watching Texas Tech shoot like 64% from the field or something like that. Nothing they can do. Just getting ran out. It was Bill Self's first time getting teed up and ejected from a game in 21 seasons.
Bill Self has been interesting this year because that team has so much talent. And there's times where you watch it and you wonder why they aren't better.
Doesn't it feel like that starting five is just as talented, has more experience than UConn's starting five? Doesn't it feel like it should be that way? It's not, but you know what I'm saying?
It's not. And I think the reason is, and I've been thinking about this a lot this week, just kind of after the games. I think the biggest thing about college basketball is to win in March and to be that team, your best player can't be a big. He has to be a guard. He's got to be a guy that has the ball in his hands. And Dickinson is their best player by far. Maybe not by far.
Well, UConn.
No, probably by far.
Who's UConn's best player?
Not Klingon.
Not Klingon? Okay, if you say not Klingon, then yeah, the point stands then.
I don't think it's Klingon. He's phenomenal. He is a lottery
pick.
He kind of
just seems like the difference maker, though, for that team. You know, when he's on versus when he's not. It's not a crazy drop-off. The rest of the roster is super talented, obviously, but it just kind of seems like when he's on there, there's so much awareness. And when they were playing Marquette this weekend, when he got the ball, they stopped doing it. But at the beginning, three guys would flock to him right away and just foul him, unintentionally, I'm sure. But he was getting that much attention, which was crazy.
See, I kind of almost lean Cam Spencer as their best player, at least in the last month. At least in the last month, I mean. But they also have Tristan Newton. They got other guys. That's a guard-heavy team.
We love our what is Cam Spencer? He's a cold-ass white boy.
He is a cold-ass white boy.
And we love our cold-ass white boys.
We do.
I saw him and Kolick this week, and they both were giving me like the same energy as each other. Both uber-confident. Both, yeah, cold-ass white boys.
A real chip on your shoulder. They both do, which is fun. Kolick, I mean, they had a nice win against Butler early in the week, but God, UConn looked terrifying. Terrifying against Marquette.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one where I'm trying not to get too caught in the headlights of how good this UConn team is because, I mean, it feels like we could, after that game against the number four team, I know it's conference play, it feels like we could call it. You know, right there, like just give them the national championship.
That's a top five game. 30 point blowout. Holy shit. You don't see that a ton.
I do think looking ahead to they have a rematch in one of their last two games of the season. This game will be at Marquette. I do think there will be a different story told there. I don't guarantee Marquette will win, but I can guarantee it won't be another 30 point blowout.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's no way. But also, I think it could be 20 points, 15 points.
It won't be 30.
I just think this UConn team is the definition of a wagon. They're a wagon.
They're so impressive right now.
I think that from UConn to the next team in that conference, I think that gap is huge. And I think that next gap is Marquette, and then I think there's another big gap.
And I think even you could take that over to the whole league. I think there's a huge gap between UConn and everybody else. I think we're seeing them at their best right now. So assuming they don't falter down the stretch, I mean, everybody's going to be talking about UConn. They're going to be the sensational overall number one pick that a lot of people are going to go with. And it doesn't feel unwarranted. It's easy to look and try to doubt them going for two national championships back-to-back. That's hard to do. We just saw the Chiefs do it, but it's a completely different thing.
That was a shameless Chiefs plug.
That was. I had to do it. Thank you, guys. Go Chiefs. Red Kingdom. Tech 9. But yes, it's hard to go back-to-back in the NCAA tournament. That's why it hasn't happened since 08, 09, or 07, 08 with Florida. But this team with Dan Hurley, and Dan Hurley specifically, he's put together the Avengers. He is a superhero coach himself. I mean, the way he stays on these guys, I heard at DePaul during shoot-around, before they were playing DePaul, he was getting on them, yelling at them at practice, making them do extra warm-ups just to keep them loose, ready to go, and so that they wouldn't look ahead to Marquette because, you know, we've seen him at halftime yelling at his team up by 20 right. against Butler or Xavier. He's just relentless. He's keeping them locked in and focused to a degree that no other team is right now. And I know we're just kind of sucking his dick, but, dude, this guy is just doing things that, you know, we didn't think would happen. This team is being argued as being better than last year's team right now. And that's just something that's ridiculous.
Do you think they are? Because I think they probably are.
I think they are, yeah. And it makes no sense. I'm kind of angry saying that. That team last year was insane. Won every game double digits. Every out-of-conference game.
They got something going up there. And also UConn news, Kevin Ollie, who was really a terrible college coach. He won a title, but he also got Calhoun's teams and then got fired. Just got hired as the Brooklyn Nets interim coach. So it's just been a big, big week for UConn.
Shout out Kevin Ollie.
Shout out Kevin Ollie. Shout out the Hurley kicking around. Shout out them all. So it feels like the Big East is locked down. I'm not at conference. We know who's going to win that.
Yeah, UConn's going to win. Marquette will come in second. Villanova's kind of rising, but I mean, basically bubble teams are Butler, Xavier, Providence, Villanova, St. John's. We're kind of putting you to the side right now. I really like Providence getting a bid. I really like
Seton Hall.
I like Seton Hall. Holloway, he's a good coach. I like those teams that we named. The rest, it's just, they're done for. Georgetown, DePaul, season's been over for a while.
I don't know what Georgetown's going to do. They got Cooley, and I get that you need time for your team, but you also can't be this fucking bad.
No.
Like, at some point, you're bad enough where it's a reflection on you as a coach, and they're there. That's where they are. And I think there was too much. I don't think they can cut ties with him. I don't think they will. But, like, gosh, that is a terrible situation in Georgetown.
Potential hot seat there for Ed Cooley. I think potential is putting it mildly. The seat is The seat is warm.
If they were smart, they'd do it, but I don't know who wants that job anymore. Georgetown isn't what it used to be.
Mm. I can only sit here in silence and shake my head because it's really sad.
It is sad.
It's just especially going from top of the Big East just to the bottom. And I think that's why, you know, when people talk about the Big East being such a strong conference, that's, you know, where we get a little hesitant. You know, look at the bottom of your conference. It is not doing the best. Rick Pitino, if we're staying in the Big East here before we move over to the Big 12.
Let's give him all the flowers.
He had some quotes again. You know, he was quoted this earlier this year, beginning of the podcast intro, quoted saying, you know, he wants to kill himself when he loses. You know, very fair. He's a competitive guy. He's fiery. That probably led to a lot of success at Louisville. Quoted this week saying that his team just isn't it. After the loss this Saturday, he called his guys out, called his starting five out as soft, and said, my team just doesn't want to win. And he says they don't move fast vertically. They don't vertically move fast, and that is what is throwing them down. He said they're a good group of guys, but they just don't want it enough. They don't want it enough. So Rick Pitino called out the recruiting staff at St. John's, and he called his whole team out. So will this equal success? Is St. John's going to go on one now? Or, is that just speaking on, you know, what's going on at St. John's?
Why are coaches doing that? Penny Hardaway did the same thing. There's like, no matter how you say it, whether your players suck or not, as soon as you come out and say your players suck, you just look like shit. Like, you're supposed to be the reason they don't suck. And I don't know, Pitino calling out the recruiting, he's probably not allowed to recruit anymore, which is probably best for everyone. But like,
I don't want to call out the coaching and make it a hot seat episode. But is he one and done, or he's coming back?
No, he's too big of a name. He's too big of a get. He's too big of a get.
I'm sure there are some schools that would love him. I think him and Louisville would be a perfect match to come back together again after all this time. Give him recruiting back. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, he won't get fooled again.
Imagine if he came back to Louisville and got fired again just in disgrace.
God damn it.
You couldn't even be mad. It would be the funniest thing that ever happened.
Are you saying they fire him? Like, just out of spite? It's like a joke. Like, we hire you. They're all really happy. The press tour goes on. And then, like, a month before the season or into the season, it's like, you're gone.
No, I'm saying they bring him back and he takes over recruiting and brings in hookers again. He's like, it worked last time. Let's see if we can't replicate that again. And just gets busted and fired. That's the funniest possible scenario.
He just didn't learn his lesson.
The funniest scenario. You can't even be mad at him. You can't even be mad at Louisville. It's just hilarious. Louisville sucks.
Yeah, he's definitely the wild child of the family as far as Pitino brothers goes. He's no Richard Pitino. You know, that guy's keeping it cool down in New Mexico, keeping the culture strong down there, and people love to go to the Pit. So we got the Hurley brothers and we got the Pitino brothers. I'm riding with Dan Hurley and I'm riding with Richard Pitino out in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, look it up. That's his name. It always throws me off too. How do you name your son Richard and one Rick?
Well,
doesn't that seem confusing?
Well, to keep it a buck with you, Richard is Rick's son.
That makes sense because he literally looks like a 20-year-old younger version of him. But yeah, it's still in the family, so just take away the brother
family
thing.
Ties.
Father, son,
family ties.
Family ties. Shout out Lil' Keem. What's their name? Are they the Hillbilly Brothers?
They are.
They're the Hillbilly Brothers.
Shout out the Hillbilly
Brothers.
So
jumping over to the Big 12 here. Got to call out Iowa State here. Last weekend they played Cincinnati on Tuesday. And, you know, I go into every game with Iowa State still thinking it's going to be close. It was 68-59, final score. But Iowa State, the story here, they forced 25 turnovers. They almost broke the record, which was 26-28. They were right there. And I think that's just absolutely insane. They only allowed 19 made field goals from Cincinnati. So I'm not saying Cincinnati's not a good team. I'm just saying, holy shit, look at this Iowa State defense in this one specific game. Absolutely lights out, unheard of.
Crazy.
Houston's not doing that.
I don't know. Houston,
they're not doing that.
Interesting. I could sit around and suck off Iowa State and everything that's going on with them right now for the next hour and a half. And I just might. But they're never out of a game because of their defense. Even Texas Tech came in and they just handled Texas Tech. Tonight's game's a big one. But Houston also blew out Texas last week. Texas, fraudulent. Rodney Terry said if they were sticking around in the Big 12, they'd have to get tougher. But it's a good thing they're not and they're going to the SEC.
That's kind of some shade. I don't know if that's what you want to be saying heading into what I perceive as a growing conference, only getting more competitive in the SEC. I think to me, the metrics may say otherwise, but I think it's close enough where, you know, I'm going to call the SEC the second best conference. I think just top to bottom, they have it all going. I mean, even LSU just beat up on Texas A&M.
LSU also has Libby Dunn.
They also have Libby Dunn there. And that's got to mean something.
Definitely means something to me.
I think it means something to a lot of people. People were trying to buy her bathwater. It was going sale online. Like, you could go to LSU Merch.
How much? Where? LSU? You're telling me the school was selling her bathwater? I can't.
No, they weren't. How much?
There's some sickos that would pay for that. How much do you think her bathwater would go for? There's some sickos out there. Let's get that out. 200? No. How much are you getting?
It depends what sicko you're talking to, but 200? Let's not call that out of the question here.
I almost think that might be low. I mean, there's
some freaky deeks. Freaky deeks out there, especially when it comes to Livy Dunn. Leave that poor girl alone. Admire
her alone.
For sure.
Let her be a girl. Let her be a kid.
Quit. You know what? I mean, buy her bathwater. I guess I just don't get it. I don't get it. What are you going to do with that? Because I feel like people are going to drink it.
What do you do with that? Do you drink that? Or do you bathe in it?
People drink that. Or bathe in it.
What?
Yeah.
That's why I'm weirded out. I think it'd be gross to drink it. Wouldn't it be soapy? Wouldn't it be like drinking soapy water?
You think drinking... You think when somebody sees an attractive woman and they talk about, I want to drink that girl's bathwater, that's just... They're not being serious, are they? That's just to speak to how attractive that girl is.
I unfortunately think some people might be serious.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that kind of throws me off a little bit.
I would love to get someone on here who has bought and drank bathwater just to see what their headspace is.
Okay, I'm pretty sure we could grab Bordy for next week, so we got that covered.
I think Bordy will be available. I know he'll be available. So
I know for
that's
sure.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Hands down.
But you know what? I think you're right. I think the SEC is growing. And hopefully Texas goes there and just gets manhandled. There's not an easier school to root against in the world.
No, it's a culture problem over there because they're getting the talent there. You know, Abmas Max has been doing great all season for Texas. And then since Dylan DeSue's been healthy, they've turned into a more competitive team. But, I mean, yeah, it's not a surprise they're getting blown out by Houston. It's not too big of a surprise at the end of the day. But Texas, you know, they're still a team that's going to be in the tournament. Who knows? I think they'll go as far as DeSue and Abmas take them. But yeah, they're a solid squad all around. You know, I was out on them, and I got to be hand up. I got to be back in. You know, they proved me wrong. I think we can't just look at the Houston game and define their season by that. But they're putting up a fight in the Big 12 now. And yeah, I guess I'm a Texas, not supporter, but believer. I believe that they are a decent team now. And that they have the capability of almost beating anyone any given night. With that said, soft comments, Rodney Terry. That's not something you don't want to be giving bulletin board material to your SEC competitors coming in.
You also you're just blatantly saying we're too big of pussies to fucking stand up in this conference right now, so we gotta bounce. Which we've all known.
This Elite Eight run for Texas could turn to bite them in the ass from last year. They had no choice but to sign Rodney Terry. And now, I mean, it's a little early.
Annoying.
But is he your guy?
No, and I'm so sick. The horns down thing, they fucking cry about the horns down thing so much. Like, why? They act like it's like, I'm going to use the word, they act like it's a slur. And I don't think it's a slur. And no, it's not a slur.
And I feel like that's been happening more since, or that started happening when Rodney Terry started coaching there.
Yeah,
he's been
I think he's just a fucking baby. Yeah, I think he's
been soft about it. And then he's come back and apologized for being soft about it. And then he's gotten upset about it again. And then apologized. It's just back and forth. I got to be with you. Rodney Terry is kind of an annoying coach.
Yeah, he's a guy that I wouldn't be shocked if like they went their separate ways. Because he clearly like is not going to be a guy that's going to take them all the way, I think. I just don't think he has the pedigree for it.
He made this surprising Elite Eight run last year. I will say, I think that roster was more talented. I think they have some good additions, but they're mostly trying to be a defensive team now. They really just have DeSue and Max, you know, as two consistent guys. And yeah. I don't think their ceiling's as high as their ceiling was last year, offensively and defensively. But I think they're still right there in contention. So I guess I'm right on the line with Texas. Don't love them, but also don't want to disrespect them too much. And
you won't,
you know, have
you won't
them
be shocked
on
if
run.
They do. You won't be shocked if they go on a run in March is what you're saying, which I get.
I won't be shocked. No, I will. I won't be happy about it, though, only from a Big 12 loving perspective.
Right.
But that's it.
Right. Bouncing around the Big 12, a team that I think kind of has been quiet this year. You've been all about them. So respect to you there. They're a great team. They're coached great. But Baylor starting to really put it together, it feels like.
They are. No, we're getting to the season where January and February, or early February, that first couple days, it kind of seemed like everybody's settling into conference play. Games were really close. There weren't as many blowouts. And when there were, it was like, oh, shit, like, you know, finally a blowout because these games have been so back and forth, it seems like. And now you get to February, it starts to seem like teams are in their groove more. They're a little more hardened and focused on March. They kind of know where they stand. And their team chemistry is all together. And like this past weekend, we're seeing more blowouts overall, both on the road and at home, just against teams where you expect one thing, but, you know, because they're on the road going to play another team, it's just, We're getting into that time of the season.
Do you think teams, too, are starting to, I don't want to say give up, but maybe give up a little bit? We're like that West Virginia team, they're 8-17. You know they're not going to do anything. Do they really give a shit about playing Baylor at home in the middle of February?
I think
we get to that point.
See, that's the tricky question. Because some of these teams, too, some of these other teams don't. And then, so you don't know which teams don't care. People were saying right. USC didn't care at all. They just freaking won a game. And then you got a team like West Virginia. You know, are they checked out? Do they not care? Or are they still having fun with the fact, with the idea of playing spoiler? And they still got the Big 12 tournament. So some of these teams can't be checked out forever. They just need to start playing their best basketball at that time. So I always think that's a tough question and a tough angle to look at from a betting perspective, but then also just how are these teams going to match up, especially effort-wise.
Effort-wise, for sure. It's like Baylor's still in, they can still pull off a Big 12 title.
They're a game back. I think people have kind of
counted them out, but they're still right there.
No, like, Baylor's been on an absolute tear.
I'm just looking at the Clones being 20-5 right now, and it almost brings a tear to my eye.
That's incredible. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about tonight's matchup. You guys will be hearing this post-game, but we have the Iowa State Cyclones are playing Houston. Both of them are tied for first right now at 9-3 in the Big 12, and this game probably decides. I don't think it decides who wins,
but it'll get the tiebreaker.
Right. Because I think there's enough games where a team can falter. You know, the team that won can falter, and then you can have the other team win out or something. I think it's more than likely we get a tie. We get a share of the Big 12 as our winner. But you know, this game is important for implications, especially if Iowa State wins. They hold the tiebreaker if that happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting. It's still a big game, though.
Because even like this is a very outside chance, but like a Kansas, a TCU, or a Tech, they're technically still in the mix. There's still enough games to go around.
Yeah.
But tonight's big. Tonight is massive. We got every team's got about 6 more conference games.
So we have the number 1 and number 3 KenPom rated defense. The number 2 overall defense would shock you and blow your mind. Actually, I'd love if you took a guess at who do you think is the number 2 defense overall in college basketball, according to KenPom.
I would branch out to say Purdue.
It's Rutgers.
That's disgusting. But
it makes no sense.
I went with Purdue because I figured their stats were inflated because the Big Ten is the Big Ten this year.
Well, and so, to your credit, Purdue's 4 or 5, so they're right there.
They're good, but they're not going to go deep. But they're good. Good guard play, but not great.
Okay, so with this matchup tonight, Iowa State's going to Houston. They flexed the game back an hour. I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but Houston fans I've been seeing are kind of happy about it because if the game was earlier, when it was originally supposed to be on at 7, then supposedly a bunch of the fans at Houston usually can't get off work in time, and so they don't show up until about the second half. You know, don't hold me to that. That's just what the Houston fans were saying. I would have loved it. So they moved it back an hour. Houston fans are going to be there. They're going to be super rowdy. I still refuse to believe Houston can win the Big 12 as a newcomer. I'll stand by that until I have to swallow that pill. But like we said, I don't think this decides it. But it has huge implications. So what are you watching out for tonight? What are you excited to focus in on?
I'll be curious to see right when they... The biggest thing is right when they come out, are they going to let the boys play? Because both teams play a very similar physical style of defense. So we could be looking at a 3-hour game if they decide to call fouls, or we could just be looking at a fist fight on the court if they don't. So it could go either way. That's my biggest thing I'm looking for, to be honest, is how are they going to call this game?
The first time they met, I feel like there weren't too many free throws. It wasn't too overly officiated of a game. But if it does come down to free throws, both teams not that good at shooting free throws. Free throw percentages are 69% for Iowa State, 67% for Houston, though.
It's gross. How do you dedicate, let's call it what it is, you dedicate your life to this craft. You are an 18 to 24 year old man, in most cases, you've been playing basketball for anywhere from 14 to 18 years, give or take. How can you not make a free throw?
How can you just consistently barely be over 50%? I think some of our best players, Taman Lipsey, I saw his stat pop up the other day. I think he's shooting around 60 something. What the hell?
It's terrible.
I think those are things that could bite them in the ass in March. The only argument I would have to say that's not an indicator of them losing is both of them are great at turnovers. Both of them force the ball. Both of them play suffocating defense, and I think that's what tonight's matchup comes down to. Who can be the first to 55? Who can be the first to 60? Whatever that number is. And then, Right. Yeah, once you get there, you'll get our winner.
I think the first to 60 seems fair. I think that's right where we're at.
Might even be 55.
I don't know. I think if people tune in tonight that aren't familiar with these programs and are expecting to see a fun, clean game, they're going to be turning it off at halftime. Because that's not what they're going to get. They're going to get a gritty fucking game.
I do feel like a lot of these two teams, while they are leading the Big 12, are not very in the national spotlight. Houston definitely more than Iowa State. Iowa State is not in the national spotlight, even being number 6 overall this week, finally passing Kansas in the rankings. So I think this will be a lot of people's first time seeing both these teams play on Monday night. And I think I hope for a close game, or I hope for a good game, because I don't want to disappoint. You know, not a lot of people are watching, but at the same time, I guess I wouldn't care if it blew out either way. And, you know, Iowa State continues to fly under the radar, or maybe Houston starts to get a little more disrespect. We got good players. Both have great starting fives. Iowa State goes a little deeper in their bench, I think, but Houston's got a good rotation going now.
It's going to be a fun game. I can't wait for it. I'm nervous. You can't tell I'm nervous about it. Haven't been this nervous about a Clones game in a while, which is always just a fun feeling when your team's relevant and you're nervous. But I guess we'll see where we go here. I don't know. We got about 19 minutes till tip-off. Everyone start getting loose.
This feels like the biggest game in Iowa State's and, you know, probably Houston's program history, at least in the past 20 years. You know, just when you talk about the regular season conference, Houston's elevated now. Regular season, I think, is fair to say. Iowa State in the last 20, have they played in a position like this? You know, with this energy in?
Yeah, with the Niang and Amate teams, there were some big games against Kansas back then. If this game was a week later, I'd say it's probably the biggest. I think it's up there right now. It's close. I don't know that I could really think about another one right now. Those Kansas games were insane in the mid 2010s.
I think that's fair to say.
I really have no idea how this is going to go. I wouldn't be shocked if the Clones came out and laid an egg, but I also think their defense is good enough to not allow that.
I think just as, you know, knowing Iowa State, it just seems we're always ready for it. You know, so much success. Yeah,
right.
Always you have to fall off eventually, and we're waiting for it. And so if it is to happen, it feels like it would be this game because we've avoided every other quote-unquote trap game. But what is a trap game in the Big 12, you know? But this one feels like the time that they would falter. But they just seem too good. So I think we're going to get another close battle here. And hopefully Iowa State comes out on top. But, you know, Houston's a good team. Hats off to them. Hats off to Kelvin Sampson. Oh, he's hats off to the boys.
Just recapping two other teams that I want to discuss. Kentucky with a great win against Auburn.
At Auburn, too.
They're growing up. That team's growing up. Coach Cal was doing some weird stuff after the game where he was talking about don't yell at his players, yell at him, make him the bad guy. Which, from what I have my finger on the semi-pulse of Wildcat Nation, they're kind of getting sick of Cal.
Say what you want about Cal, but he seems like a guy just totally for the players, which I totally respect, but Kentucky fans just absolutely hate because they don't like that he doesn't care about winning and he doesn't care about NCAA March runs, even though he has gone on a few of his own. He just cares about getting his players to the NBA.
That's all he cares about. He frames his success by how many guys he gets paid. And you know what? He's probably the best at it. He is the best at it. I'll say that.
Super fair.
Coach K maybe, but I think it's Cal. I think Cal's the best at it.
100%. I don't think there should be too much of an argument there. I think it's Why do you think, are Kentucky fans spoiled for wanting Coach Cal to leave? Because, oh, what the hell?
No, they're just from Kentucky, so they're all pretty dumb. Their IQs are a little lower.
The grass isn't always greener on the other side, and I don't know.
It's a bluegrass state.
What the hell they think is going to happen when Coach Cal leaves?
They like their grass. That's a program that once he leaves, see Louisville now. I think that's a Kentucky trajectory.
You think?
When he leaves. But I don't think he's going to leave anytime soon. Like, I think the only way he's going is if they want him to go. And I think they'll be crazy to let him go. I mean, he's only 65.
And I think he's got a lifetime contract or something with that. Something crazy like Bill Self has, where he's making a shit ton of money. And, yeah, he's not going anywhere. I think whenever I hear Kentucky fans complaining about it, it just seems like a shut the hell up. I don't know. They are delusional and think Scott Drew would leave Baylor and come coach with them, or Kelvin Sampson. You're not going to get one of the best coaches right now. I don't know what up-and-coming coach you want to have right now. Yeah.
People seem to think that Ott would leave to go to, like, Ohio State. A lot of these people at these schools are just delusional. It's just delusional. I think a lot of these guys, I think you're seeing it more in college football, but I think you've seen it in college basketball for the last probably 50 years. Guys get comfortable places, and they control everything. Literally everything. So why would they leave? They're compensated well. They're winning. They get all the PR they want. Like, these guys are just making it their own. It's literally their program. That's what it
and
is.
And who's to say they would have that same success transferring over? You know, I think Ott's has a good thing going at Iowa State and Ames. You know, he's been there a really long time, has a lot of experience there, a few head coaching jobs too. And the same is said with Kelvin Sampson and Scott Drew. I mean, those guys are loyal to their teams, and they buy into the culture and the fandom of that town. It's not as easy as going to another school and repeating that same success. So completely delusional. I think Coach Cal is not on the hot seat, which I don't think should be a hot take at all.
I don't think it should be either. And I don't think he's on the hot seat, but, like, also wouldn't be shocked. This has been a real hot seat episode for everyone at home, and you're welcome for that.
We're just letting you know before we really get to the end of the season, and there are some actual hot seats going on. So if there are some props out there for some hot seat bets, we got you covered.
All right. Like we said, we got the clones coming up, so we will have to leave the people soon.
Yes.
But before we do that, we need to talk very quickly about a mid-major that I think you're falling in love with, the Dayton Flyers.
The Dayton Flyers. Have you watched them at all this season?
Pretty good. It feels like they're separating themselves in that mid-major pack. They're coming out. They're good. They've always are good, but they're better this year.
So that is a team I can genuinely tell you I have not seen too much of them of their play. But as we get closer to March, as we get to this time of the season where Dayton is separating themselves, I've been seeing metrics pop up left and right. I'm a big metrics guy. You know, the formulas do equal reality in March Madness. They indicate things. They don't equal reality. They just indicate what could happen. And they have a good success rate there. But this Dayton team, I saw a starting five percentage. You know, basically, who is the best starting five? Who is the most efficient starting five? It was Dayton, number one. Mm-hmm. I need to start watching this team. I tried to put on a game they were playing the other day, and they were up by 20, and I just couldn't do it. It didn't seem like I was getting the real Dayton. So I'm going to start trying to tune into the beginning of those games and really get a sense of who this team is, because they're looking at a potential four seed, if not a higher, you know, six, seven, eight, like lower seed, like that, worst case. I want to see how for real they are. You know, it's reminded me of 2020 Dayton, where, you know, they hang the banner. COVID year, they hang the banner. The tournament didn't happen. They say they won. I think probably would have gone with Kansas. Anybody?
I'm not one to argue. I think Dayton was the national champions, 2020 national champs.
That was their Obi Toppin year.
Ain't no stopping Obi Toppin. He deserved player. Ain't no stopping. He did deserve player of the year. Did he win the player of the year over Garza that year? He did, right?
He did. Yeah, him and Garza went back and forth.
He deserved it. You heard it here.
You know, on that note, though, you just brought up player of the year. We got to shout out a guy, a boy named Taman Lipsey, for getting on that list. He's one of six players to get on the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year, and then the midseason Naismith Watch. One of six players, and I mean, that's just a big accomplishment. Can't remember, you know, that hasn't happened since the Hoiberg era, where probably Niang was on both of those. Potentially not on that defensive one.
Probably not on that defense.
I'm sure we had somebody.
I know for a fact he wasn't on that defense.
Yeah, he probably wasn't on that defense. But, you know, the man was good. His NBA career is panning out. We know who's winning National Player of the Year, Zach Edey. I think there's a fun argument to be had if it wasn't him who is winning it. RJ Davis, Dalton Knecht. Some people say Klingon. Some people say Shireman. It's a fun conversation to have. But the other players included Jani Broom, Auburn, Zach Edey, Purdue, Jamal Shedd, Houston. He was 1 of 6 on both. So we got two of the 1 of 6 guys going up against each other on Monday. Kevin McCullough Jr. And then a random Devin Carter from Providence. Devin Carter's doing it both. Jr.
Kevin McCullough.
He's been having a rough end of the season.
He did. He's not that good.
Yeah. And then I also want to call out North Carolina losing at Syracuse. You know, called it here last weekend, but I don't think anyone expected Syracuse to shoot 62.5%. The Garden's always packed out, and I'm sure it was, you know, sold out because they were playing North Carolina, but they got a treat because Jesus Christ, North Carolina got owned.
They got it. Took it hard.
But like you said, we've got a big game coming up here. Wish we could do a live broadcast watch. I think that would be absolutely awesome. But we'll be tuned in, hunkered down in our open caves. I don't know what to call it. We'll be tuned in watching this game. Clark, do we have any good upcoming games coming up this weekend? I already know the answer, yes. But let's
look. The answer is yes. We have Florida at Alabama, which will be a great game.
Okay.
Houston goes to Baylor. We have a lot of fun games out there right now.
We got Connecticut at Creighton on Tuesday.
See, I don't even count that as a good game because I think Connecticut wins by 20.
I was going to ask. That's just where I'm at with them.
That's just where I'm at with them.
So you don't see Connecticut falling here. They're not phased.
No, they're not phased.
It's in Omaha.
I don't see it happening. I don't think it matters. Those are people from Nebraska. Those are Nebraska people. How much pull
Connecticut's projected to win by 2. I think if they're going to fall, it's either up. Okay, obviously. It's either here or at Marquette. One of those two. Obviously, they just handled Marquette. So that's kind of out right now. If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Creighton. This might be, maybe they're hitting their best stride of basketball right now. I like that. I like the potential Creighton upset, but I've been fucked every time I bet against Connecticut. So.
And this week, we're going to do a little mailbag on Sunday and have people tell us what games they liked.
And we'll talk about
the games that the people liked. I think that's the best way to do it.
Where can they reach out and send these to?
You'll see it pop up on your Instagram from the Pop Off Pod page on probably Sunday.
That's beautiful. Okay, I'll be super hyped about that. May throw in a couple questions of my own, but if we get enough, fuck those questions. We'll go right to you.
We'll get right to it. We want to hear what you guys have to say as much as you want to hear what we have to say.
I think you were talking about Baylor. Tomorrow night, we also got Baylor at BYU. I think that could be a good one. BYU needs a big win. I think they're searching for it. But Baylor's on a freaking roll.
They are. They're hot. They're rolling. If they go 2-0 this week, jeez. Wagon. Scott Drew's so good. He's consistent. He always gets it done.
I think you're right. I think this week we're talking a lot about Iowa State, Houston. But I think, especially if Baylor goes 2-0 this week, I think down the stretch, we're talking about Baylor a lot more.
I couldn't agree more. I think we are too. I think that's the way it's going to go. I think we'll have a much clearer picture when we talk to you guys next Monday night about where things are.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Well, next Monday, we'll be having a special guest on. Sadly, our beloved co-host, Clark, he will be out of town. So we'll have a special surprise guest for you who will be coming in live with me. And yeah, it'll be a treat, but Clark, you'll be missed, and we'll do something fun in your absence to tribute you.
Perfect. Sounds phenomenal to me.
All right, let's wrap it up here. Let's look at a few more games, though, before we go.
You're right. Let's give the people something to salivate on.
Mm-hmm.
I like where your head's at. Also, backtracking a little bit, Iowa got a pretty decent win against Wisconsin Sunday, which we don't need to talk about it a ton, but let's give... We're an equal opportunity podcast. Flowers where flowers are deserved.
Let's give them their flowers. I actually wanted to bring that up too. They're closing out the season a little stronger than I think people thought. I think looking at it, the Wisconsin team should not be ranked. They should not have been ranked win for them. And they're, you know, they're struggling out there. And I think losing to Iowa, you know, really proves it. But I also want to give the flowers to Iowa because, you know, they're winning games down the stretch. And who knows? Maybe they make a little run in the Big Ten tourney.
Maybe they sneak in Thursday night, 10 p.m., Pac-12 after dark. Last year of it, soaking in Washington State at Arizona.
This Washington State game. Team, they're winning. They're winning games. I don't think they win this game against Arizona, but I think they feel heavily like the underdog. I think they feel heavily slept on, and I think that's dangerous. When you go in and you're playing a team like Arizona, who's a number one seed, but definitely the weakest number one seed right now, mm-hmm. they falter. Honestly, I see Washington State as more of a good story this year. Maybe I'm sleeping on them. I think Arizona blows them out.
Arizona
things
blows
could
them out,
be different. That's what I say right now. I could change my stance, but
I think you're valid there. I think that's a valid point. And then I'll just give you two other games to soak on. North Carolina and Virginia.
I like that matchup. North Carolina.
Virginia.
Looking good.
Virginia kind of faltered, but they also had a big win last week.
So did North Carolina against Syracuse. So, you know, both coming in 1-1.
Both coming in trying to right the ship. This is the time of season where if you're faltering, you have to right the ship. And the other matchup I got, an SEC one, people are going to overlook it. It's going to be a great game. South Carolina goes to Ole Miss.
Oh, a little Chris Beard action.
Two teams South that Carolina. Both desperately need a W.
Dude, that's got to be, they're going to Ole Miss.
Both teams need that.
I believe South Carolina is a good team. I really do. They have good wins. Their win against Tennessee and their win against Kentucky. Both Tennessee was on the road, Kentucky at home. Both great wins and are really boosting them up right now. But that loss to LSU, 64-63.
Not great.
They're good. I think Ole Miss may want it more on the road. That'll be a toss up because I don't want to doubt South Carolina right now. They're ballers, but I think Ole Miss wants it, and I think it's a good win for them.
I think Ole Miss wants it too. And you know what? On that note, we love talking to you guys, but we got a game we got to get to.
So
it's been a pleasure tonight, as it's always a pleasure. And we're going to let you go for now. We're going to hope you enjoy the rest of your week. We're going to hope you come back and listen to us next week. Not me. Berg and our special guest, to be named.
He'll be there in spirit.
To be named. I will be there in spirit. Who knows? Maybe I'll pop in out of nowhere. No problem.
We might have the Lizard King on next week. Stay tuned. Just let that one settle. Think about it. But we love you all. Clark. Close us out.
America, Canada, Mexico, North America. We love coming to you. We love talking to you. As three unified nations together, sometimes we don't always get along. And sometimes that's all of our fault.
Preach.
But one thing we can all agree on is we love college basketball. Canada sends us some great players. Mexico should start sending us some great players. America has great players. It's a growing game, and we are going to continue to grow it one podcast at a time. So from us to you, good night, good week, and happy February.
Boom!